Studio line from L'Oreal. New Mega Gel. Mega Hold. New Modeling Spritz. Spritz from Lift.
Sculpt your hair any way you like it.
Studio line from L'Oreal.
It's January 1989. Everyone's wearing lumberjack coats and you are coveting a brand called Pendleton. People wearing colored contact lenses are reporting experiencing blurry vision, and that's why we have the song Hazy Shade of Winter. Famke Janssen's on the cover of Italian L. Oops, sorry, that's for my list of vocal warm-ups. Big-name designers are creating couture loungewear for fancy people to enjoy cocooning, a lovely word that for most of us, we experience as, it's fucking cold, wear socks if you're getting next to me under these covers. Why are you always so cold? Get your ice talons off my leg. I am not your furnace. But you don't care much about all that because your book club, you've had exactly one meeting with them so far, and everyone here seems really like you'd hope. Kind of like Facts of Life Sisterhood, where they have a lot of inside jokes and seem to have known each other their entire lives. Is that what being a sophomore will feel like? The yearbook teacher is Miss Yolene. She has a perfect spiral perm and wears watermelon earrings, even though it is nowhere near summer. So cool. On Miss Yolene's desk is a pink plastic jam box, and now that it's your second yearbook club meeting, you are ready to make a memory. You pull out the mixtape you made last night. You still have little streaks of red marker on your palms from putting school colors on the spine of the case. Here it is, 16 songs and one skit about making friends and preserving memories. Everyone will totally appreciate this gesture of friendship and vulnerability. You press play. You wait for people to feel what's happening. That your first song in the mix, Every Day I Write the Book, is a beat you're all sharing because this is it, you guys. This is publishing. This is the most important book of the year, and it's happening here. Every day we write the book. You're just cool and leaning the right way, bopping along to the song by the tape player, ready to make a brand new lifelong best friend. Chapter one. When a peppy redhead with bangs and a bob approaches, she's nodding like you're speaking her language. And fire drill. Fire drill. It's so loud. The peppy redhead is pulled into her throng of friends, disappearing into a sea of teased hair and denim jackets. And by the time you hear Natalie Merchant crooning, "Hey Jack Kerouac," it's an empty room. Just you and this magazine you brought to bond with these nonconformist nerds, honors kids, and band quitters. You open your magazine to hang out with the gang you know would totally dig your mixtape and would use the fire drills and escape to skip school and run through the streets of NYC eating hot dogs, going thrift store shopping and chasing pigeons in front of skateboarding boys and eating Nesquik salads. Yes, it's time to
listen to Sassy!
What if she followed the rules of making a mixtape we discussed in the bonus content in last week's episode?
That's right.
It didn't end well, as I recall.
No.
Actually, I don't think it ended. I think we got sidetracked and we never actually discussed our methodology at all. So I hope she did better back in 1989 in which this event took place.
Right.
According to this journal that we have found and are reading from.
Yeah. Who is she in bed with that has cold feet is what I would like to know.
I mean, you know, that she just overhears her parents.
I see.
And also, she's seen some commercials. Like, she knows what's up.
Okay, fair. January 1989 cover. We already talked about it a little bit in the Sassiest Girl in America article, because the cover girl is the sassiest girl in America, Rinnan. And I think it got cut when we talked about it before. So can we discuss Pam's face blindness for this girl? Because she's a fucking
chameleon.
She's not.
She's in this magazine like three times, and I would not know it's her every time. Every time. I'm like, oh, look, it's the sassiest girl in America.
She also, as one of her winnings, she gets to star in a Noxzema ad, and that's on pages 2 to 3. I don't know why her knitwear is this cheap looking. I wonder whether it's borrowed from the Sassy Club because it looks very cheap and shitty and acrylic. But Pam, did you not recognize her either until you read the headline?
Nope. Not at all. And I was like, oh, these are the knit stars. Oh, this is the sassiest girl in America. Once again. The clothes are so flammable. Everything she's wearing looks very dangerous to wear near warm things.
Let's not rule out that Pam might need some L-Dopa or something.
Not taking enough Bonafide.
Or clearly too much. Put anything.
Double the dosage, Pam.
Give me some L-Dopa. I'll put it between my Bonafide and my Lyrica.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. I like I said, Jennifer Aniston says she takes a lot of vitamins, and I identify with this.
I have a question about this Noxzema ad picture, though, with the red knit sweater that apparently is cheap, according to people on this podcast who are not me. She has a beret on, like a two-tone black and red beret.
Mm-hmm.
But is that where the pom-poms that are draping over her shoulder are coming from?
I assume so.
It's sort of like a detachable, you know, was that
tam-o-shanter? Tam-o-shanter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weird. I just never seen a beret with tassels.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't like it.
She's the sassiest girl in America.
She's sassy Curtis Sliwa is what she is in a red beret. It's like, it keeps coming up for good reason.
Got to get that skin clean to go and perform with her 24-man band.
Hip-hop group.
All right, fashion feature number one is called His Clothes. And I am introducing it because I am a his.
Right. That's right.
In His Clothes, they have a bunch of teens and they have their outfits sort of, but then they're sort of adding elements from my wardrobe. How dare they? With mixed results, I'm going to say. Some of these kind of look like maybe my grandma's couch exploded and then she had to wear that out.
Yeah. The problem with this story is that all the even number pages, the proportions are balanced correctly. So you have like slim and big. And then on all the odd numbered pages, it's just giant burying your body, the biggest clothes you can find. And I'm sorry to report, fucking bloomers are back. They're still trying to make those happen. It's January. You can't wear those out. It's like underwear.
Can I just like quickly go through what each one looks like?
Sure.
Just so in case you don't have them. First one is Madonna Han Solo. The second one is David Bowie as a pirate. The third one is Joni Mitchell wearing flowers.
Joni Mitchell does not want to hug you.
Yeah.
Fourth one is Grandma's Couch Exploded.
Yes. Okay.
The fifth one is One Day I Will Be Joey from Dawson's Creek. And the last one is I Am a Sandwich Board.
Yeah.
So rewinding back to number one, I suppose. Madonna Han Solo.
There's another inspiration for that Pam nailed in our doc. So I'll let her tell it.
Well, it was just that the vest is what is the his part, but you can't really tell because there's so much other stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know, like, who she's dating. Is it Steven Tyler? Because is it a pirate? Is she dating this crucifix? Like, I don't understand the getup.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate it's the only one where she's not wearing a hat.
Yeah, the pants are definitely not from dad's closet, unless the dad is very small. But, like, they look like she may have shopped in, like, the biggest size in Ralph Lauren Boys, which was a trick I did, too, at the time. That's how I got a very cheap polo with a little horse on it shirt, because it was a boy's shirt. I also don't approve of the white socks with the black shoes and black pants. Don't do that.
Where is the crucifix attached?
I think it's through one of the buttonholes in the vest.
No!
I'm not saying to do it. I'm just saying I think that's where it is.
No, that's my reaction to doing it. I'm not yelling at you.
Once again, there's also a lot of questionable headgear throughout this story. There's a scarf tied around the head that makes her look like a Civil War era nurse, a battlefield nurse.
Pirate Bowie.
Yeah.
Pirate Bowie.
Page 27, Grandma's Couch Exploded. It's just like a surgical cap that's not going to keep anything out.
It's kind of doily. It's a surgical cap doily. Yes.
But like everything
Grandma's finest.
On page 27 for Grandma's Exploding Couch Girl, everything is at the wrong height where it ends or starts.
Like absolutely. This is what I'm saying about proportions.
Everything on it. Her blouse or shirt or whatever you want to call it is like even higher than a midriff.
Yeah.
Her coat goes 5 inches too far. Her pants are too high.
And what is hanging over her crotch? Like, why does she have this tulle loincloth?
It's the towel you put over your oven handle to wipe your hands off once in a while after you, like, do the dishes and stuff.
To prove you did the dishes, that's when you hang the towel and you go, obviously, I'm done here.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got cufflinks going through her buttonholes.
Yeah. Those shoes are way too big. You can tell from the proportions of the rest of her. Those are gigantic shoes.
Can you even imagine? Can I wear your shoes tomorrow? They're like four sizes bigger than you, Carol. I know, but like, I just want to. They make me feel close to you. Can I take these cufflinks? This is a girl who stole a lot of things from her professor's house and put them on.
Yes.
It's the opposite, the reverse leave behind. He's going to come have to call me and come and get them. All that said, page 28 is super cute. I still think this is cute to this day. It's like a crocheted, short-sleeved, button-down top with a crocheted sweater over it and then just plain black pants, nothing weird with the belt. I believe that's a harmony ball around her neck, which mm-hmm. we talked about before. The shoes are too big. But other than this, it's like slim top, big bottoms. This is how you do proportions.
There's so many holes in her crochet.
I was going to say the same thing.
Well,
I feel like you really got to be on top of your game if you have clothes that actually have portals into your skin. Because and it gets worse in this issue, too, as far as that goes. There's like holes that are so big later in the issue. I'm worried about nipple management. Well, I am.
I hear what you're saying. This is definitely more of a springtime top. It has no business being in a January issue.
I just wouldn't make it, wouldn't last for me by lunch. It's got a cat ripping, a coffee stain.
It's snagging on everything.
Snagging on just my thoughts. Any sharp thought I might have. It's going to tear the sleeve.
Well, she makes it look good.
She does.
It's the best out of these, I would say, but it still feels impractical.
Because page 29 is the worst.
it's the demented one. This is the one with, she's in a bucket hat that's sheer somehow. It's sheer white. What? I want a hat, but I want people to still see I have hair under it is the theory of this thing.
Also, I want zero protection from the sun.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. Thank you very
Can
much.
Can I get a gauze beach hat? It's a gauzy... Yes. Oh my God, it's awful. And then it's not even the worst thing she's wearing.
No, because the bloomers are back.
Those aren't even the worst thing she's wearing.
Just getting back from her 2-hour session stomping grapes.
You can't stomp grapes in a sheer white hat. That's just dangerous.
But I can't believe these stupid bloomers are $48. Who is spending that on this non-garment? So idiotic. Not even for a Raggedy Ann Halloween costume would you buy these for $48. It's absurd. I'm offended.
All I see is Dickerson underwear. That's all I see. Like it just feels like she got out of bed back in the day, wrote a couple poems, decided today I would like to be a little Flavor Flav, and then put on her sandwich board hiding men's blazer that is approximately 7 sizes too big for her, and then thought, I want a hat, but not a hat. How about this one? Ready for the day.
We all kind of hung on to Annie and wanting to be an orphan and bloomers, and I think that's where this was, where you were like, finally, I get to, like, it's a hard knock life, and then you wear your dad's coat. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, maybe it is just you, Pam.
That's never happened before.
I'm just like a quick catalog of things you dreamt about. Parents being dead, you dying of some slow disease in order to get sympathy and attention. And probably more. But I'm just saying you have some dark, happy childhood memories, Pam. Or fantasies.
I didn't say they were happy. Your Honor, I never said I had happy memories.
Oh boy, to be an orphan. Not knowing where my next meal's coming from or when I'm going to be loved. That's the life.
It's adventure. This girl's also wearing a harmony ball. It takes a while to notice because she's wearing 3 timepieces, some of which are just jammed into a metal. Like, you know, what it's called. What do you call when you wear a metal that the metal hangs from? It's not a lanyard.
A ribbon?
Yeah, I guess it's a ribbon. Yeah,
ribbon.
A ribbon necklace. 2 are on one of them. Oh, God, the whole thing's so tough.
It really does feel like there was supposed to be a proper award ceremony and somebody forgot to pick up the medals at the trophy shop.
They ran out of time.
And then, then they just put some fabric through the eye hole in the pocket watch. And away we go. It's very haphazard. I don't know why there's one a quarter way up. There's no way to balance that unless there's another one we can't see under the other side. I'm just worried about the balance. She's going to start walking in circles. This is the worst.
Oh, for sure.
This is the worst.
Feature number 2 is called PJ Days, and this is a spread of cute nightwear you can wear around the house when you're just having a lazy day or night. And I would just like to say this whole spread is amateur night for people who are not serious about relaxing.
If you are serious about relaxing, you are not going to the effort of buying and matching and wearing pajamas.
No.
Because pajamas have buttons. And if you're wearing something with buttons, you are not relaxing properly.
Yes. You need elastics. You need a drawstring. None of this fussy button bullshit. Dave is totally right. What you need, if you are serious about relaxing, hello, is a wardrobe you can put on after a shower, wear all day, including going outside, like to get the mail or bring in your food delivery. That's it. And then sleep in once you have taken off your sports bra that you wore all day. Sorry that I figured out life, but that is what I do on the daily. And Dave can confirm.
Yep.
For the rest of you, Dave is doing fashion show at Zoom and just standing up showing his drawstring pants. I am in an oversized, I'm wearing buttons, but it is an oversized shirt. Oh, I was wearing a sports bra earlier in your honor, Tara, but now I'm just like, now I'm in my fancy podcasting bra. But sure. I am in pajama pants. They are drawstring. And I'm wearing some kind of slipper. This is my professional look.
I have socks and Uggs because it's a little chilly this week. But
me too.
I would also like to say white loungewear, which a lot of this is, as far as we can tell, it's a black and white spread. White loungewear is for morons or people who are not going to get chocolate or spaghetti sauce on themselves when they're eating in their pajamas. Because this is just, it's a lot of risk. You're taking on a lot of risk. But Pam called out the Star and Moon bathrobe on the first page, page 58, saying that she wished it was in color. Pam, if you want to see this in all its glory, watch any TV show from 1992 until about 1995. This company had some kind of deal with every show. It's on Melrose Place. It's on 90210. One of the friends had it. I believe it was Rachel. Like, this one was, it was ubiquitous.
On page 63, one of the PJ days, this girl just is like, I'm going to sit on the spiral staircase in my house right in the middle on some carpeting. But the carpeting's kind of itchy, so I'll get some blankets and a pillow. And then I'll just sit by the window in the middle of the staircase reading a book. It's like, Jenny, other people live here. We're trying to go to school and stuff. And you just like write your poems. And whose blankets are those? That's not nice. That's not cool.
It's very picturesque, though.
It is. It's very pretty to sit on wicker in embroidery, but it is not something you want to do in real life. Our next fashion feature I took charge of just so I could go,
wah, wah, words.
But I can't believe that Dave didn't. Go ahead, Dave.
No, that's good. You did it perfectly. Okay. I can't compete with that. Also, I'm not going to say those words. Somebody's going to take those out of context and they're going to be.
It's true.
Also, at this time, it was the other Wild Wild West song. It was like, heading for the 90s, living in the Wild Wild West. That one.
Yeah. So this is Wild Whites. It's not better. Photographer is Calliope and our model is Halevi. And this is spread about, I mean, it says Wild Wild Whites, but they're wearing so many clothes that you forget that immediately. It does seem to be like, layer up, put a poncho. You can wear a blanket as a coat. You can wear all the boots. You can wear a hat. And I guess they're all, there's a white thing in all of them, but barely in some of them.
Yeah. This first shot, by the way, it's the cute version of what I'm doing from now until April. Because it's leggings, socks over the leggings. She's got Birkenstocks clogs, as I already said. I'll be in Uggs. Long sleeve shirt, sweater, maybe a scarf, probably not, blanket just on the lap, all of it being warm. This is me.
If you cut her out of this little boardwalk, this little beachside boardwalk where she's sitting, and you just plopped her into a photo, like a couch layout of just a messy dorm room, your first apartment.
Yeah.
She does look like she needs some help. But you put her here with this little cute view, and then you know that the ocean's near her. She looks like she's recovering.
That's true. She does look like she might have had the consumption. She's at the sanitarium getting the air.
Yes.
And if you put her in like a McDonald's at 11 o'clock at night, it also is a very sad sort of look to it.
Yeah.
Or triumphant. It does.
Well, because it's enough layers that it starts to approach hobo.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When they're just like, well, I'll just wear everything I own. It's kind of getting there, especially with the socks over the leggings or whatever's going there. And then the socks are also, the cuff is turned. I quite understand what's going there on the mid-calf. Yeah.
It's got a real Ebenezer Scrooge vibe. All the way to down into some, shoved into some Birkenstocks. It's like when your dad has to go de-ice something. Just shoves whatever shoe was by the door on and doesn't fit. It was mom's, but you just step on the backs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you come back in. Yeah, you're wearing, and you're like, Dad, I think that's the bath mat. And you're like, it was all I had at the time. Tara, will you talk about the Worry Doll sweater, please?
Well, this is not what I would do with Worry Dolls or did at the time. I had like a little, they were also much tinier than this, but yeah. Worry Dolls were really having a moment around this time. I definitely had a Worry Doll like barrette. There might have been an earrings, but she has on a white mock turtleneck sweater with Worry Dolls just pinned every which where.
Again, I mean, we have to employ the word festooned.
Yes, they are festooned. Correct.
One of them is facing her. Do you see the one that's just clutching her
Hello.
Breast? These are such a bad look.
Yeah.
I feel like some of them could be things. Like, I feel like I see Raggedy Ann or Raggedy Andy on the left. I'm pretty sure the black one over her boob is Mr. Bill. Incredible Hulk up top.
There's a llama.
Yeah.
And then she's got another sweater around her waist. And then what looks like another sweater under the sweater, the mock turtleneck that she's wearing. This is not okay. This is too many layers. I don't care how cold it is out there. How are you going to put a sweater on over a Worry Doll mock turtleneck?
It'd be lumpy.
It'd be very lumpy is what I'm saying.
That'll give you something to worry about.
All right, what next is on page 20? And what's next, they say, is crochet. And they are pushing crochet hard in this issue. Not only with this head to toe crochet. Somehow they also made her hair look crocheted. But she's in a crocheted top, sweater, skirt, dangerous, and tights. But they also put one of the sassiest girls in America, Margot, is in crocheted tights in her spread. And then there's crochet up the butt in his clothes. So we get it, crochet. But that said, this was a trend that really hung around for a long time. So good job. I guess they did it.
It's super ugly. Also, she's got like a little brain slug on her head that's crocheted.
You can't really see what it is. It looks like it might be a mini sailor hat or something, but she's got a lot of hair and it's obscuring it. But who is wearing a crocheted skirt? Like what? I mean, over leggings, I guess, because otherwise it's just showing your butt.
I don't see any undergarments on this model. This is what I'm talking about. I'm worried about nipple management.
I see.
Hang on. All right. You would wear this skirt over some like fishnets and you would really want like a little bit of your panties to show or whatever, a little peak of red. And then you're wearing like your Joy Division top.
I'm sorry.
And
what was that? A peak of what?
What?
What was that term?
Sorry. You're the nipple manager. This is a completely different division I'm talking about.
Can you please restate what you said?
A peak of... I don't know. Roll to 12. I don't remember.
Speak into the horn, please.
5 seconds ago. Here's what I know.
Say peak of bread?
No.
What did you say?
Red. Your red underwear.
Okay.
My garbage is hanging out. And I wrap it up.
That's why I was confused.
Bread? Dave? Bread?
I thought that's why you didn't want to talk about it again.
What part of my body was my bread,
no. Dave?
Well, I mean, I'll give you the nice answer, which is your ass, because that's what you used to loaf around.
All right.
Yeah.
Saved it.
He saved it, question mark? Okay, are we done with crochet?
I mean, we're done with so much.
But don't you think your nipple's going to poke through that thing?
Well, she has, well, that's why she has. She's got a bra on.
Does she? Yeah. Where is the strap?
Yes, you can vaguely see it.
Mm. Yeah, a camisole maybe. Yeah. You wear a camisole right. under this, and you wear a slip under the crochet skirt.
Okay, I just don't see it.
If you're really worried.
I guess.
I just don't see it. Well. My God, I'm going to get you a nipple manager hat to wear to the beach.
No, just a pin.
Sit next to your buddy, the bikini inspector. Just the
Dave,
pin.
Nipple manager.
Oh, gross.
It's gross.
Okay.
I just see him taking the job very seriously. And with each woman, he's a person, we all, even dogs, he's just like, listen.
Have you punched in yet today?
I made a joke once and now I have a career. I don't know. Sometimes you fall into things. So anyway, I just don't want them in two different directions. And I just want to make sure you have a bra before you go out there.
All right, listen up. Schedule is out for next week. Just check it. Make sure everybody's okay.
I'm going to need three inverted. Where am I going to get those? We're having some real shipping issues lately.
Or, all right, nipple, today's your big day. Get on the set. You knock them out. Just remember to give me my 10%.
Yes. Yes.
Let's talk about the beauty features. The first one is called Pretty Hands. It is a personal attack on me as a nail biter. There's a lot of stuff in here that I'm sure I thought, like, yeah, I'm going to try it and never did. But, like, they have step-by-step instructions on, for example, giving yourself a hand mask once a week. Here's what's easier than that. Find $20. At this time, it was probably like $10 to go to a nail shop and get a manicure. Let a pro do it.
Did you get manicures in, like, high school and junior high and stuff?
Of course I didn't get manicures. No. I was a full adult before I got a professional manicure.
Did you paint your own nails?
Sometimes.
Back then?
But they were usually too disgusting. But now the only way that I can keep my hands from being, like, completely going off the rails, and pandemic was hard for me for that reason, but now I get a manicure every week because it's the only way to keep my nails out of my hands. Which is why I know a lot of this stuff is bananas. First of all, they're very critical about having, you know, square nails are wrong. I can report. Basically, all nail lengths and shapes are acceptable. There isn't really like a one dominant nailness. Although, I still personally find the extremely long Kardashian talons terrifying and gross. Khloe Kardashian is in an ad right now for some migraine medication. And she's like sitting on the couch and just like casually like twiddling her fingers next to her face. I don't know how she does anything done, how she gets anything done. She has a baby. Like, how are you changing diapers? She's not. But still, like, how are you picking up a quarter?
But isn't that the point of the nails? That she's not. That she's letting you know. Like,
I mean, that's fine for her. But when you see them also on, like, the Teen Moms of the Teen Mom franchise, it's like, how do you live? You have poop under your nails all the time.
Ah,
they do. I'm sorry. They must. Anyway, what this article is missing is best practices for painting your own nails. And I watched a lot of YouTube tutorials before I found the one that showed the method that most non-nail techs will have the most success with, which is like the three swoop method. And I won't try and describe it, but you go to the clip that's in the show notes. If you have trouble slopping polish on your fingers, on the skin part, this is a very good way, and it's pretty much error-free.
Very cool. Thank you for that.
And they also say when you paint your nails at home, it'll take an hour for them to dry completely, which is possibly originally said that's crazy unless you put too much polish on, which is a common rookie mistake. Should be fine with 20 minutes. But then I thought it's possible that nail polish technology has come further in the last 30 years. And that's why it doesn't take forever to dry like it used to in the olden times.
That is a good point. But at 20 minutes, that is when socks arrive and just touch themselves to my nails no matter what. I don't know why. I don't understand.
Like something out of Fantasia?
Yeah, they just... And then if they don't, like my jeans are like, oh, everything you ever needed is in your jeans right now. Go get them. And you're like, sure. Oh, fucking. Mm-hmm. Ah, terrible. But that's why the acrylics were great, because there was no dry time.
Right.
And when I was little, my mom used to be a hair salon person when I was very, very little. And so she had all this stuff and she would practice on me.
Right.
And do those like gel acrylics on a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. Those things are very hard. But anyway, yeah. I only today realized like I probably was exposed to so much UV light in my living room. That's not good. That explains a lot.
Perhaps you didn't grow up learning how to do your nails right, because this article was impossible to read, because either it's thin font in all caps for paragraphs and paragraphs, or it's in the black weight of another font that is so thick that it is so hard to for your brain to keep track of where your eyes are in this thing. It's one of the worst examples of everything that Sassy's done so far when it comes to layout.
Yeah.
It's just bad. And then what is this first photo? Like, I know what's happening with the photo. The photographer shot through some plants, you know, and then one of the flowers or one of the pieces of the plant is right where her eye is. It just looks like her eye is sealed over with skin.
Yeah.
Not particularly arty.
No.
It looks like a mistake, but it's purple enough. It's just defined enough. You know, it's not real. Kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why they did that. And also, it's a photo for a story about pretty hands and nails, but the hand is out of focus.
The entire time I was looking at the other picture from this, thinking that's what you were talking about, because it's...
Oh, that one is, I love ectoplasm!
Yes.
She just saw Alien. She's like, I could be Alien.
Yeah, she's slime dipping. Did you not do that in Canada?
That is my favorite REM song.
Deserves a quiet night.
Beauty feature number two is fake. Photographers Dewey Nix, which is just a name I made up for YA. Who else? The miseducation of Dewey Nix. Like, that is a fake YA name.
Yeah, Dewey Nix is also a lesser member of the Dixie Mafia from Justified, for sure.
Yes. You're looking for Dewey Nix. Our models are Julie and Nicandalum. This is about fake it. Like, you don't have to grow your hair when you can buy your hair, honey. Have it all done. And this is cute stuff. This is talking about lashes and power ponies and a new way that I didn't know to, like, make a little beehive on top that kind of curls around your head. So it was still giving me fun tips. It's everybody looks really happy to have so much hair. And they're talking about fake nails too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right about that? Have you ever bought a nail in a box at a store that you could put on your hand and go somewhere and it doesn't just get stuck in your hair when you go to brush your hair behind your ear and you're like, oh.
I've never done it.
You weren't in a play where you had to play a 58-year-old woman? I don't understand. This is a rite of passage.
I was in a play where I had to play a super old woman, but she was like, you know, a sad Irish famine lady, so she didn't have nails.
She was fast. Her Sally, literally press on to yours.
The old Fenian men. Bold Fenian men. I was the old Fenian lady. This is fine. None of this really was that appealing to me except the lashes, but what was most striking is like, oh, these fake lashes they're showing off are just how lashes look now. Like, everyone just gets their lashes done or they wear fakes.
The most striking thing is actually that they've shot the photographs for this at the moment where Sarah Connor has the dream about the nuke going off in LA in Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. Is really bad. Don't shoot your models in direct sunlight when you have a large dynamic range, like very, very, very bright and very dark in the same shot, especially when it's across their face.
Yeah.
I think that this photographer for this session, I just feel like he overexposed them and didn't have any shots that were properly exposed, and they just had to run with it because it looks nuclear on the first two shots. Like, this poor model, she has one shot that isn't Threads or The Day After Tomorrow, and that's it. And she's got like five photos in it.
Great job, Dewey.
Yeah, way to go.
Hey, nobody talks to Dewey Nix like that. What's she doing around here? He's made of a light bulb. He can't help it. I guess it is pretty bright. It reminds me of like photo booths, like photo booth bright. Like, I hear you and I appreciate your expert opinion. I like learning why I shouldn't like things that I didn't have.
So here's an example. If it was properly exposed in the second photo of the first page, you would see definition around her nose that's in the light part of her face, the lit up part, but you don't. Mm-hmm. So there's this like a floating nostril on her face on one side. And that tells me it was overexposed. And, you know, obviously in the days before digital, you couldn't chimp your shots and make sure that you were doing it right. You know, overexposed or set the lights too hot. And then here we go.
We try it this month. It's just a bunch of mascaras. It's not even worth going into. Great Lash Forever. But I just want to let you know, I did buy a primer and thought about the word primer the whole time I used it. And you're right. It's great.
Yeah.
It gave such a nice, delicate... Nobody uses the word delicate around me. But I was like, oh, for a second, I looked like an ingenue.
Yeah, it's like magic.
Yeah.
I strongly recommend, for sure. About Face collection of little beauty items. They have a whole thing about all natural beauty products that's, of course, because it's 1989, highlights the Body Shop, and they have to describe what it is because I guess this is before the Body Shop was every fucking where. The photo that accompanies it is a pair of hands holding a green apple glycerin bar, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I can smell it. It's like, yeah. That was a real moment in beauty culture. It was such a strong, great scent. I mean, we thought that's what we thought a strong scent was before Lush came along.
It's the only true marriage of Jolly Rancher and personal hygiene technology is the smell of all those soaps.
Yeah. And they look like Jolly Ranchers, too, because they're like a little bit clear. They're very cute.
If you were the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk and you were like, that's probably what happens. Probably his origin story. It's probably why he's so cranky.
Yeah.
He probably ate what he thought was a Jolly Rancher. It turned out to be glycerin soap. He's like, well, fuck this species.
Yeah, that was a big stocking stuffer for a while because they would package them with a loofah or something. So you would get a couple for Christmas or whatever. So eventually you'd have a good stockpile.
The perfect gift when you know somebody, but you don't know them.
Yep.
Body Shop.
You don't want to make a big deal out of anything that's happening or hear from them again.
Here, you can pick your gift left or right, left or right. Go ahead.
Left.
Body Shop.
Uh-huh.
Pam.
Right. Is a candle or a box of chocolates?
Okay, Pam, you pick.
I'll pick right.
Keychain.
I win!
I don't have keys.
Then and now, our makeover story. I think it's been a little bit since we've had one. And this one is about taking a model named Danae and telling her, lighten up on the eye makeup. But I just wanted to note, again, this is the eye makeup that has come back around. This is her before is our today, is A. And B, the way they've styled her in her after makes her look like she's Amish. Like, she's in a very cute floral top. Nothing wrong with that. A little button down. But they've have her hair, like, parted in the middle and then all swept back in a bun. And even though I know it's, like, a cool bandana, it still looks like
a bonnet.
Yes. It's a bad after.
She's buggy ready.
She is. Let's talk about some of the ads. Got a few new ads, not too many. On page 85, we got an ad for OB, the tampon every teenager is too scared to use because there's no applicator and you got to put your finger right up in your business. And when you've just been menstruating for like 3 months, that sounds terrifying.
Well, also, I'm sorry, but also, this is a series of questions, a Q&A, and the third question is, how do you use OB? I've used OB and I read this and went, I guess I've never used OB correctly. Just turn OB's little blue string in circles. You'll flare the base, creating a perfect place to fit your fingertip.
That's not what you do.
What? No. You're just jamming that thing all over. You take the string, get it out of the way.
Yeah, I got you a little peek at the bread.
You peek at the bread. That's very true. Yeah. You look right at the bread and then you want to go muffin, bagel.
Baguette.
Anyway, the other reason this ad is noteworthy is because it stars Kimberly Williams, now Kimberly Williams Paisley.
I thought she looked familiar.
Yes.
Extra hot, great Game Time answer. She was in the One Season Wonder quiz.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. She was in Relativity. Yeah. She. This is before she was in Father of the Bride. That was 1991. And that was her big break. But look at her looking all cute in her jeans.
How much shirt material is stuffed into those jeans, though?
So much.
A lot.
So
all
much.
The way down her thighs.
For sure.
Yeah. How do you know when your tampon's in the right place? OB has body sense. When it's in the right place, you can't feel it inside your body at all. That's what? I don't.
It's got like a gyroscope in it.
Tracking device. <Yeah. laughs>
Maybe it just means it's centered. You know, like it's in the right place. It's like of sound mind, and it's figured out where it wants to be in life.
Yeah.
And it's sensible... up your cooch.
Dave. Dave.
He's coming for your cooch.
Who is? Why is OB a he?
Nosferatu. Callback.
Oh. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I forgot about. How dare I?
And then again, the title, the headline says, your body wants to talk to you.
What?
Hi, Pam.
Well, on page 93, which is a page of a compilation of all the little teeny tiny ads for advertisers that don't have enough money to take a whole page ad out.
It is my favorite. Is my favorite.
Be a lady in white. Wild, wild, white.
The reason that I flagged this one is because I know how Dave enjoys an ad that has a person's name in it, which oh, this okay. ad for the National, America's National Talent Competition, the Nationals are in Orlando in October 1989, guys. This one tells us to write, exclamation mark, to Sybil Schaefer, 215 Piedmont Avenue, Northeast, Sweet Tea.
Sibilant and alliterative.
Oh, Sweet Tea, because she's a Southerner. Mm. In Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. There's also a phone number here. And so, of course, I had to look up, what is Sybil Schaefer's deal? And here it is. Sybil Schaefer of Atlanta.
Pam loves it when we dox people on the show, by the way. She was really disappointed in the early run when we wouldn't give addresses and phone numbers out. She's like, wah!
She founded the National Teen-Ager Foundation in 1974. It was dissolved in 1992. Apparently, the purpose of this organization, other than to run this talent competition, and we'll get back to that, is that it operated the Miss National Teenager Contest / pageant. And I found out a listing for the winner from 1975 meeting Gerald Ford and having him give her a plaque. It's in the Ford Library documents, believe it or not. I would have thought this thing morphed into like Miss Teen USA or something because I've never heard of it, but it does still exist. And our current reigning Miss National Teenager, they dropped the hyphen at some point, is Marianne Bagwell of Kentucky. And we will link to some information about Ms. Bagwell. But I just want to get back to the four genders of talent. Just kidding. They say classifications.
I was going to say, tag yourself. I'm open.
Of course you are. They are vocal, dance, including gymnastics, instrumental. That's, of course, where I would be with my stupid flute. And open, the Pam category, which permits monologue. Duh. But also, if this is your jam, ventriloquism, I am dying to see the teen ventriloquists that entered this contest, or baton, comma, etc. I don't know what else that might be. Improv comedy. It's fascinating. And
magic.
It's open to people. Yeah, magic for sure.
You got it, Dave.
Absolutely. Open to contestants ages 8 to 19. So you're going to see a real wide range of talent at the Nationals, in quotation marks, in Orlando in October 1989. Page 104, we get an ad for Sassy telling you to subscribe. And this price was hilarious to me. 12 issues of Sassy for just $14.98. You save over $9 off the cover price. So I did a little research because I subscribe to a lot of magazines now. I rediscovered my love of magazines from my project of collecting all of Sassy. A year of Vogue magazine, way fatter than Sassy, even now in pandemic times, in 2021 is $12. And the cover price for a year is $89.89. So for Vogue, if you subscribe at a price that was less now than Sassy was in 1989, you save like $70. which is crazy to me. Come on, guys. You're not going to convince anyone with these prices.
It's time to shop in the January 89 Sassy Club.
I want this bag.
The sassy bag? The drawstring bag?
Mm-hmm. With the terrible photo? You can't actually read. It says the sassiest girl in America bag.
I don't. Do you want to carry that around? That thing on your back that says that you're the sassiest girl in America?
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm saying it like this.
Pam, I want to carry this bag around today. I'm going to HEB later. I want to carry this bag with me and put all my stuff in it.
Would you get the bread holders? I like the bread holders on the next page. And I think I would wear the black ones, maybe the white ones. I'm sorry, you call them underwear, but we now call them bread holders. You guys are, I saw you both like, I don't genuinely understand. Is that what she's calling nail polish?
Is that what they call pins in Mississippi? I don't know.
Wouldn't they be called bread baskets?
Yes, Dave. They would be called bread baskets.
I need to change my answer. I am actually getting at a discounted price because I had one already and everybody loved it so much, was asking, Dave, can I get one? Can I have one? It's so great. It's so cool. You're the best. I'm going to buy out the inventory now that it's back of the back jeans pocket photo frame for only $5. Yes! Still the best thing I've seen in Sassy Club after all these
issues. $5.
That is a steal.
Diary on page 9. The star of Diary for this month is Vicky, who is the managing editor and memo queen, and seems to basically be the person who makes sure that everything gets in on time, like, manages the traffic of making a magazine. And Jane describes most of her work as being like handing out 2, maybe 3 memos a day, reminding us all when our articles, photos, and headlines were due. And I would just like to say, tip of my invisible hat to anyone who had to do this job in a time before email. Never mind Slack. In a time before email, because like physically printing out memos and dropping them on people's desks sounds like the worst job, short of being a coal miner. Like, it just sounds so thankless and drudging. Like, I hate it.
Did you ever work in a place where you had the 20 circle openings and they would just curl paper into it?
No, but I know what you're talking about, but I never worked at
that. That was for memos.
Okay.
So it would be on the secretaries or the entrance, mm-hmm. when you come in and out of the office, so that, it would be something you would have to pass multiple times a day when you came in, when you left, when you went for lunch, when you went to use the bathroom. I mean, it's obviously not as fast and efficient as electronic correspondence, but it didn't not work. It was hard to ignore.
Sure. I just think about the waste of reprinting on the back of these memos. Yeah. Like, it's so much paper for such a dumb reason.
It just sounds like she's corralling children the way it's written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was. Well, I mean, sure. They had a very young staff. So like for a lot of them, it was their very first job. So I'm sure a lot of them had no idea what they were doing. And it was probably very tiresome for her. So God bless you, Vicky. I'm sure you are more than 50% responsible for this magazine happening.
Is this how you feel when you're trying to organize all the podcast schedules for everybody else who's involved, Tara?
Of course not.
Okay. Say what?
Say what? Where we get some letters, quote unquote, from readers, quote unquote. But maybe I wanted to talk about okay, which is them being like, okay, getting a little defensive because Shannon from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, she made sure to make sure we knew all of these things.
Or is it 4 people from America with weird names?
Yeah. Shannon, Ottawa, Ontario, and Canada say, I had to laugh when I read your review of the Joy Division Substance album in your October issue. You referred to it as Joy Division's newest album. The Joy Division no longer exists. They broke up in May 1980 with the lead singer's death. The album was put out by the remaining members who now call themselves New Order. That's right.
That's our first external editor's note.
It was really good. It was a good one. All four of those ladies are right.
We also get one headline, The Facts in Fiction. Christina, how could you in Tarot Bang? I'm very upset about your short story, Jelly Beans, from October. It's all lies. There is absolutely, positively no way a diabetic would die from eating jelly beans. I know. I have had diabetes for 6 years now. The worst that could have happened to Sarah would have been that her blood sugar would have went so high that she had to be hospitalized. If the media would stop telling lies, then diabetics wouldn't be treated so funny, writes Jackie of Baltimore, Maryland. And first of all, I love that she's like, yes, our biggest problem right now is inflammatory media articles about diabetes. Like, AIDS is still a thing, right, Jackie? That's A. And then Christina responds, if a diabetic has a virus or a flu and she eats too much sugar, she could die. I know. Jelly beans is a true story. Okay, drama. Ooh, like, the phrasing of this correction to the correction is a lot. And I also think they didn't do a courtesy edit of would have went to would have gone in order to further own this letter writer and make her look dumb. Just a theory.
It's a good theory.
I'm just Googling, could you die of jelly beans diabetes? Isn't really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. This is more about if you decide to only eat jelly beans. They're okay. Dogs and dogs should not eat jelly beans.
Probably not.
No, because of the xylitol.
Yeah, the xylitol. Ding 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 ding.
That's what I played when I was in the pit. The xylitol.
I take xylitol 3 times a day, and it's really working. It's really working.
How big is the cup or bowl of pills that you have to take every day? Like, we talking like, oh my God, she's actually going to get something. Oh, Jesus.
I am out of town, so this is my travel. This is my travel medications. So I do one of these a day, every once a week. I sit down and I fill this with all my shit.
Okay, she has English muffin-sized pill orbs with different days.
You know, if the media treated my shit a little more seriously, we wouldn't be here right now. Menopause is no fucking joke.
If you're
joke.
Old enough to remember the stacking Tupperware spice containers that came in avocado green and harvest gold, yeah, and they stacked up, that's sort of what Pam has for her pills.
Yeah, it flips up like a caboodle, mm-hmm, and then you slide these in. There's 7 of them because that's how many days we are. And then we have another one for funsies. I have another one for funsies. Anyway, ask a question, Dave. You get the answer. That's it.
Boy, howdy. Let's run the numbers. How much time a day is spent dealing with your medicine? And do you think it's going to extend your life beyond that at the end of your life? The answer is no, because I think you spend 4 hours a day taking pills.
We have letters in the middle here from a couple of...
Oh, yeah, letters.
We have letters in the middle here about the Virgins Are Cool article. A virgin who was like, I almost fucked my boyfriend. Then I read this and we didn't. So thanks. But I imagine it is a boner killer in the middle of making out to be like, I'm just reading my sassy. And then the other letter is from a girl who's not a virgin. And she's my favorite kind. She's the wise old not virgin. And so she's the one who's always telling the virgins like what they have is really great. Now, for her, it was a magical, special, wonderful time. But for most people, it's horrible. So you shouldn't have your virginity lost. Like, you should never have sex. But for her, it's great. And that you just run into those wise old non-virgins all the time from like 14 to 18. I am not a crackpot. Sometimes it's the only thing you can say at the end of a sentence.
It's true. I just want to backtrack to the one where it's like, I almost had sex with my boyfriend and then I read the article and didn't. Fake. I just think it's fake. I'm going to read it. Thanks so much for your article. I'm 15 and my boyfriend has tried every one of those lines to try to get me to go to bed with him. I was about to give in, but I read your article and that changed my mind. You saved me from something I wasn't ready to do. Thanks. They don't even bother to make up a fake name. It's name and address withheld. So I'm just saying, this is them backing them up. And then if Jan Dawes happens to pick up this article or this issue, since Wabash is in it, she can say, oh, their Virgins Are Cool article did work. We also get a a letter. Me, Jane. Jane, are you constantly bothered by people who think it's funny to ask where Tarzan is? What can the Janes of this world do about these demented people? Jane responds, yes, all the time. Try saying, and you must be Cheetah. And I just realized, like, reading this, thought, oh, these, all of these references, Tarzan, Jane, and Cheetah, are going to be relevant for like 5 more years. And now no one younger than we are would ever make these references or get them, I don't think. Even with the Tarzan movie.
I was just about to say, don't they still make Tarzan things? I feel like there's always a show or a movie or a cartoon going on.
Yeah, right. There was the show that Pam covered.
Oh, yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
With the
guy from Vikings.
Travis.
Tremel. Mm-hmm. Termel? Dremel?
Travis
is it
Himmel.
Dremel? Is he a Dremel?
He is, no. He's a Himmel. I'm just saying, you don't hear a lot of Cheetah. And finally, Inside Out just shows us the contact sheet of all the alternate shots of Mary Stuart Masterson that didn't get used, plus the one that did get used with the little red photo crayon square around it. And I just want to say, do this more. It's so cute. I thought this was really interesting. And it's nice to see, you know, more photos, especially when you only pick one to illustrate your story. I just like this glimpse at the process.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's one of those photo crayons like we saw in Columbo just now, Dave.
That's right. Yes.
The Tarzan books are now in public domain. So I think you're going to see a whole lot of fucking Tarzan.
Stand by for my Tarzan musical number at the Nationals.
I hope it's called Cheetahs.
Next time, we'll be sharing our results from the January 1989 quiz, What's Your Sports IQ? And you can take that quiz yourself right now on our website. We will also be playing your latest voicemails, so get them in right now at 720 Sassy Go.
We can accept your calls from any garbage city that you happen to live in. You can follow me on Instagram at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. Pam is Pamela Ribbon everywhere. And the show on Twitter and Instagram is at Listen to Sassy. Remember, our holiday drive is in effect. At recording time, we need 22 plus one dollar person to bring us over the threshold. I'm not quite sure why we're $1 short of $5 amount. Something's happened. Somebody was like, I'm doing $6. Fuck you. I don't know what's going on there. But if we reach that $1,000, all that good stuff is coming your way, plus all the stuff you're entitled to just for being a regular club member. And you can also support us by giving us a 7-star, wait, 8? No, we're at 9 stars now on the app of your choice. Thank you so much.
You can also call us. Our hotline is 720 Nipple Manager. It's also 720. Almost got it when he was sipping. Leave us a voicemail at 720 Sassy Go, and we may play it on our future episode. You can find all of our podcast information or visual aids for our episodes, contact info for us, everything we just said is at listentosassy.com. So do not worry about not writing it down right now. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm sorry. You're not supposed to be here. You're going to have to leave the areola immediately.
Oh,
that's a good name. I like it.
His cups runneth over with jokes.
And Pam, you also wanted to talk about the pullout calendar that also came with this issue.
Yes, they mentioned it on the cover as a free mod pullout calendar. Mm-hmm. And you only have to see, like, you only have to squint a little at it before you're like, oh man, that thing was on my wall. And I haven't looked at it yet because it wasn't in my magazine, my tangible magazine. And I'm saving it to look through the PDFs and see all the little squares again. Remember that I remember like doodling all over it. It just lived on my wall for a long time. So I don't know why we're sharing that. I'm sharing that.
Why did you bring up that you haven't looked at it yet?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Well, come back in February for this January content from Pam.